back at it now, and I was just sharing with you the executive directive, and I'm not quite sure what the difference of a directive is compared to an executive order, ordering the Michigan State Police to basically target businesses and focus on taking away their licensing, suspending their licensing, if they're not following strict adherence to her executive orders that many would contend are simply not lawful. John J. Bursch was the 10th Michigan Solicitor General. Bursch represents Fortune 500 companies, foreign and domestic governments, top public officials, industry associations, and high-profile cases. He's argued 11 U.S. Supreme Court cases since 2011, 30 state Supreme Court cases, and he's here to help me sort all of this out. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Good to have you here. So I'm looking at the one that I just can't even believe. Governor Whitmer using the – this was announced yesterday. There's a press conference coming up at 10:30, but using the Michigan State Police to go after businesses and go after their licenses, their liquor license, their license to do business, declaring them a presumptive evidence of a public health hazard if they're not strictly in compliance with all of her executive orders. And by God, who could keep up with any of them? Help me out.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable the number of orders that have issued. For those of your listeners out there who are Harry Potter fans, it kind of reminds me of Professor Umbridge and her educational decrees, which littered the walls of the students' educational building. And it's questionable whether the orders are authorized from the get-go, whether the governor can continue to extend an emergency order well past the initial month that the statute contemplates. And it's also questionable whether, even if she has emergency power, she can simply suspend and rewrite any law that she desires. And she can.
Well, that's what she's done
here,
though. She's created, the mask violation now is a $500 misdemeanor, right? I mean, how can she declare a law with a penalty, no input from the legislature, no input, and then demand that the state police enforce her laws? And they are her laws. They're nobody else's. They're her laws, right?
Yeah, I think it's highly questionable. And in fact, when the state of Wisconsin did something very, very similar, the Wisconsin Supreme Court almost immediately struck that down as being beyond the scope of executive authority,
well,
in a public health emergency.
Yeah, it would be nice if the Michigan Supreme Court decided to wake up and, be involved in the process, but they apparently don't care. There's not even oral arguments until the 2nd of September, which is months later. I mean, what a lazy, spineless way to go. Am I wrong?
Well, I do wish that they were operating a little faster. We know that it's possible for the Michigan appellate system to move quickly because if we were dealing with an election, they can order briefing and oral argument within the matter of a couple of days to a week at most. And so it's unclear why they would wait until September 2nd to even have the argument. That means we probably won't get an answer until late September, maybe October. And
right.
By then, there's going to be hundreds of businesses that have been damaged, not to mention all the other people affected by these
orders. Oh, some businesses are gone permanently. So here's the point. She calls them emergency orders, right? It's an emergency declaration. The Supreme Court apparently doesn't think it's much of an emergency at all because they're not even putting it on their docket for so many weeks and months, right? And here's another question for you. If she has to shut down bars and so forth for inside service, which she did last week, because it's an emergency, then why doesn't she just come out and say on Wednesday, it's an emergency, we need to do this right now? No, it's an emergency today, but we're not going to, enforce that for a couple more days. Doesn't sound like much of an emergency. We'll give it a couple of days, and then we'll shut them down.
It's completely illogical, and that's the way that it's been from the very beginning. Every single one of these emergencies has been done several days to a week out and without any data or science behind them whatsoever. I mean, this is supposed to be the administration of transparency. That's how she campaigned. And she says that all of these decisions are being based on the best science available.
But that's not true. You know, we had
to make available any of that. I mean, we have no idea what decisions.
Right. We don't know what they're. We have no idea what they're basing their decisions on because they're not making any of that public. And there was a judge, one of the decisions early on in this, I believe it was involving the barber out in Owosso. The judge in one of the cases just said, you're basically providing no data. You're just saying because we said so, and something to that direct effect is what the decision was. That later got overruled, but the judge says, you're supplying no data, and because we said so is not a reason, right?
No, it's never a reason, and really the one thing where we have a data point is the one example where she's acting completely contrary to the science and the medicine, and that would be the nursing homes. I think we all know across the United States now that it's the elderly who are most vulnerable and that putting individuals who have already been diagnosed with COVID in the nursing homes is a disaster. More than 2,000 Michiganders have died as a direct result of the governor's enactment of that policy. And yet we have a bipartisan legislative effort to stop killing people in nursing homes, and she vetoes that.
Of course she does, and vetoes the whistleblower law, which the Democrats go completely cowardly on because they're so afraid of her. They won't do anything. But the Republicans, what good have the Republicans been? I mean, if roles were reversed, the Democrats would be out there every single day passing legislation, demanding that the governor, you know, either sign or veto. Every day there'd be something. Every day they'd be in front of the cameras. The Republicans, well, you know, Chatfield thinks he's going to be in Congress, and, you know, Shirky wants to run for governor. I mean, I'll just say it. There it is. That's what the Republicans are all saying internally. You know, the Chatfield just wants to run for Congress, and Shirky wants to run for governor. He doesn't want to ruffle any feathers. Well, it's pretty spineless what I'm seeing. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know what their motivations are there, but they certainly are passing legislation. And remarkably, they're doing it in a bipartisan fashion. I think you're going to find
some
a few examples at the national or the state level, inside or outside Michigan, where Republicans and Democrats are working together.
I'm talking about here
policy.
In Michigan. I'm talking about here.
And the Republicans and the legislature have been working with the Democrats and passing good laws, and the governor has been vetoing those and ignoring them completely.
Maybe a couple. But let me tell you what I hear when I'm on the streets. People aren't seeing it. People aren't hearing it. People are saying, what are they doing? Well, why is nothing happening? Because, again, if roles were reversed, John Burrish here was the 10th Michigan Solicitor General. If roles were reversed, the Democrats would be in front of the cameras every single day. They'd make a point of it. That's my point. They're not, the Republicans are getting outplayed.
They'd be protesting in the streets, no doubt.
Well, there is that. So, all right, so where do we go from here? I mean, the problem is if you're a business owner and they come after your license, they'll shut you down. They'll destroy you permanently, whether it's legal or lawful or not. I mean, if they decide a year from now, oh, that wasn't lawful, it doesn't put your business back on the tracks. Although there's some Supreme Court precedent that said if the government comes along and shuts your business down through no fault of your own, that they're liable for that, which means the taxpayers could end up paying for that. There's a Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court. But what do you do?
Oh, absolutely. Let's just talk about that for a moment. You know, there's a takings clause in both the federal constitution and the state constitution that says the government can't take your real property, your real estate, your home, your land, whatever. But it also can't take your personal property without paying you just compensation. And so when the government is shutting these businesses down, it does put the state and taxpayers at risk of having to pay for all those shutdowns and the massive amounts of damages that have been caused. And I have no doubt we're going to be seeing those lawsuits as the pandemic starts to wind down and the litigation over consequences starts to heat up. And at a time when we're already facing multi-billion-dollar deficits because of the lost tax revenue from the inappropriate and unnecessary shutdowns, that's a bill that we can't possibly afford.
No, it's not. And tax revenue is going to fall. And trust me, when I told people here a couple of weeks ago and they all went crazy on the left, the police will get defunded, whether it's by choice or by necessity, and so will corrections, and so will everything else. John, I got to leave it there, but yeah. I'd love to have you back. Great resource. I really appreciate you being here. I'm up against a hard break, but John Burrish, 10th Michigan Solicitor General, great conversation and common sense. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Quick break, Dr. John Lott on the way.
The Roxor Beast of a Sales event is back, summer style. Right now, save big on all remaining 2019 Roxors, starting at $750 off. Hand assembled in the USA with a steel body, box steel frame, and a 2.5-liter four-cylinder Mahindra turbo diesel engine. It's the side-by-side unlike any other. But hurry, the Roxor Beast of a Summer Sales event is only for a limited time. Go to RoxorOffroad.com/offers to learn more.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
I'm probably okay to have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert.
Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.